October 11th. Our reading in the Old Testament today will be from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 16, verse 16, and we'll go through chapter 18, verse 23. God gave his servant four prohibitions in the 16th chapter of Jeremiah. One was, do not take a wife. A godly wife can be a great encouragement to a minister, but Jeremiah had to serve alone. His singleness was a witness to the nation that homes would be destroyed. Another prohibition, do not mourn. People were dying because of the drought, but Jeremiah was not to join in mourning. Why? Because the dead were better off than those who would perish in the siege. The prophet was a living witness that God's comfort was taken from his people. The third of the four prohibitions was, do not celebrate. There were weddings as well as funerals, but what joy could they bring knowing that death was imminent? When people asked Jeremiah about his strange behavior, he would have opportunity to declare the word of God. And the fourth and final prohibition was, do not look back. He ended with a message of hope. The full restoration of the nation will be greater than the exodus from Egypt. In the discouraging hours of life, God is working out his purposes, so take refuge in him. And then on into the 17th chapter of Jeremiah. We'll read about the engraver. See, when we sin, we write it on our hearts, and only God can erase it when we repent and trust him. He writes his word on our hearts, so we get victory over sin. The altar was to be a place of remitting sin, not recording sin, but their sins were engraved even there. We'll read about the farmer. Faith in the Lord makes you a deeply rooted tree that survives the drought. Faith in man makes you a shrub in the desert. We'll read about the doctor. The heart is sick, and only the great physician can diagnose its problems and bring the necessary healing. Think of Jeremiah 17:9 next time you say, if I know my own heart, you may be surprised what God sees there. And we'll read about the worshiper. The throne of Judah had decayed, but because the prophet saw God's glorious throne on high, well, he had hope. God's throne room is our sanctuary, and he welcomes us to come to get the help we need. And with that, let's begin our reading today in the Old Testament. October 11th, Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 16, through chapter 18, verse 23. But now I am sending for many fishermen who will catch them, the Israelites, says the Lord. I am sending for hunters who will search for them in the forests and caves. I am watching them closely, and I see every sin. They cannot hope to hide from me. I will punish them doubly for all their sins, because they have defiled my land with lifeless images of their detestable gods and filled my inheritance with their evil deeds. Lord, you are my strength and fortress, my refuge in the day of trouble. Nations from around the world will come to you and say, our ancestors were foolish, for they worshipped worthless idols. Can people make their own god? The gods they make are not real gods at all. So now I will show them my power and might, says the Lord. At last they will know that I am the Lord. The Lord says, my people act as though their evil ways are laws to be obeyed, inscribed with a diamond point on their stony hearts, or with an iron chisel on the corners of their altars. Even their children go to worship at their sacred altars and Asherah poles, beneath every green tree and on every high hill. So I will give all your wealth and treasures, together with your pagan shrines, as plunder to your enemies, for sin runs rampant in your land. The wonderful inheritance I have reserved for you will slip out of your hands, and I will send you away as captives to a foreign land, for you have kindled my anger into a roaring fire that will burn forever. This is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans and turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert, with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness, on the salty flats where no one lives. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank, with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green, and they go right on producing delicious fruit. The human heart is most deceitful and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? But I know. I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. Like a bird that hatches eggs, she is not laid. So are those who get their wealth by unjust means. Sooner or later, they will lose their riches, and at the end of their lives will become poor old fools. But we worship at your throne, eternal, high, and glorious. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who turn away from you will be disgraced and shamed. They will be buried in a dry and dusty grave, for they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living water. O Lord, you alone can heal me. You alone can save. My praises are for you alone. People scoff at me and say, "What is this message from the Lord you keep talking about? Why don't your predictions come true?" Lord, I have not abandoned my job as a shepherd for your people. I have not urged you to send disaster. It is your message I have given them, not my own. Lord, do not desert me now. You alone are my hope in the day of disaster. Bring shame and terror on all who persecute me. But give me peace. Yes, bring double destruction upon them. Then the Lord said to me, "Go and stand in the gates of Jerusalem, first at the gate where the king goes out, and then at each of the other gates. Say to all the people, 'Listen to this message from the Lord, you kings of Judah, and all you people of Judah and everyone living in Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says. Listen to my warning and live. Stop carrying on your trade at Jerusalem's gates on the Sabbath day. Do not do your work on the Sabbath, but make it a holy day. I gave this command to your ancestors, but they did not listen or obey. They stubbornly refused to pay attention and would not respond to discipline. But if you obey me, says the Lord, and do not carry on your trade or work on the Sabbath day, and if you keep it holy, then this nation will continue forever. There will always be a descendant of David sitting on the throne here in Jerusalem. Kings and their officials will always ride among the people of Judah in chariots and on horses, and this city will remain forever. And from all around Jerusalem, from the towns of Judah and Benjamin, from the western foothills and the hill country and the Negev, the people will come with their burnt offerings and sacrifices. They will bring their grain offerings, incense, and thanksgiving offerings to the Lord's temple. But if you do not listen to me and refuse to keep the Sabbath holy, and if on the Sabbath day you bring loads of merchandise through the gates of Jerusalem, just as on other days, then I will set fire to these gates. The fire will spread to the palaces, and no one will be able to put out the roaring flames." The Lord gave another message to Jeremiah. He said, "Go down to the shop where clay pots and jars are made. I will speak to you while you are there." So I did as he told me, and found the potter working at his wheel. But the jar he was making did not turn out as he had hoped. So the potter squashed the jar into a lump of clay and started again. Then the Lord gave me this message, "O Israel, can I not do to you as this potter has done to this clay? As the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. If I announce that a certain nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, but then that nation renounces its evil ways, I will not destroy it as I had planned. And if I announce that I will build up and plant a certain nation or kingdom, making it strong and great, but then that nation turns to evil and refuses to obey me, I will not bless that nation as I had said I would. Therefore, Jeremiah, go and warn all Judah and Jerusalem. Say to them, 'This is what the Lord says. I am planning disaster against you instead of good. So turn from your evil ways, each of you, and do what is right." But they replied, "Don't waste your breath. We will continue to live as we want to, following our own evil desires." Then the Lord said, "Has anyone ever heard of such a thing, even among the pagan nations? My virgin Israel has done something too terrible to understand. Does the snow ever melt high up in the mountains of Lebanon? Do the cold flowing streams from the crags of Mount Hermon ever run dry? These can be counted on, but not my people, for they have deserted me and turned to worthless idols. They have stumbled off the ancient highways of good, and they walk the muddy paths of sin. Therefore their land will become desolate, a monument to their stupidity. All who pass by will be astonished and shake their heads in amazement at its utter desolation. I will scatter my people before their enemies as the east wind scatters dust. And in all their trouble, I will turn my back on them and refuse to notice their distress." Then the people said, "Come on, let's find a way to stop Jeremiah. We have our own priests and wise men and prophets. We don't need him to teach the law and give us advice and prophecies. Let's spread rumors about him and ignore what he says. Lord, help me. Listen to what they are planning to do to me. Should they repay evil for good? They have set a trap to kill me, though I pleaded for them and tried to protect them from your anger. So let their children starve. Let the sword pour out their blood. Let their wives become widows without any children. Let their old men die in a plague, and let their young men be killed in battle. Let screaming be heard from their homes as warriors come suddenly upon them. For they have dug a pit for me, and they have hidden traps along my path. Lord, you know all about their murderous plots against me. Don't forgive their crimes and blot out their sins. Let them die before you. Deal with them in your anger." October 11th. And now as we begin to look into the New Testament, our reading today will be from the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verse 1. We'll go through chapter 5, verse 3. More and more should be the desire of the dedicated Christian. Here in the fourth chapter, we'll read about more holiness. Your body belongs to God, and His will is that you use it for holy purposes. Christ purchased your body, and the Father has called you to holy living. Disobey, and the penalties are great. We'll read about more love. You're taught to love by the Father, and the Son, and the Spirit. Love is the one outstanding and true mark of the true believer. Love. Our God is love. We'll read about more quietness. Now, because they expected the Lord to return any day, some believers had quit their jobs and become idlers and meddlers. Now, what kind of testimony would this be to the lost? And we'll read about more hope. Christians sorrow because God made us to weep. But it is not the hopeless sorrow of the world. See, Jesus is coming again, and that means reunion and eternal rejoicing. All right, let's begin our reading now in the New Testament. October 11th, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1 through chapter 5, verse 3. "Finally, dear brothers and sisters, we, Paul and his co-workers, urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus to live in a way that pleases God, as we have taught you. You are doing this already, and we encourage you to do so more and more. For you remember what we taught you in the name of the Lord Jesus. God wants you to be holy, so you should keep clear of all sexual sin. Then each of you will control your body and live in holiness and honor, not in lustful passion as the pagans do in their ignorance of God and His ways. Never cheat a Christian brother in this matter by taking his wife, for the Lord avenges all such sins, as we have solemnly warned you before. God has called us to be holy, not to live impure lives. Anyone who refuses to live by these rules is not disobeying human rules, but is rejecting God, who gives His Holy Spirit to you. But I don't need to write to you about the Christian love that should be shown among God's people. For God Himself has taught you to love one another. Indeed, your love is already strong toward all the Christians in all of Macedonia. Even so, dear brothers and sisters, we beg you to love them more and more. This should be your ambition, to live a quiet life, minding your own business, and working with your hands, just as we commanded you before. As a result, people who are not Christians will respect the way you live, and you will not need to depend on others to meet your financial needs. And now, brothers and sisters, I want you to know what will happen to the Christians who have died, so you will not be full of sorrow like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus comes, God will bring back with Jesus all the Christians who have died. I can tell you this directly from the Lord. We, who are still living when the Lord returns, will not rise to meet Him ahead of those who are in their graves. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the call of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, all the Christians who have died will rise from their graves. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air and remain with Him forever. So comfort and encourage each other with these words. I really don't need to write to you about how and when all this will happen, dear brothers and sisters, for you know quite well that the day of the Lord will come unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. When people are saying, "All is well, everything is peaceful and secure," then disaster will fall upon them as suddenly as a woman's birth pains begin when her child is about to be born, and there will be no escape. Psalm 81, verses 1 through 16. We'll read about the things that were. Now, this section is an invitation for the people to participate in a joyful celebration, probably Passover. Asaph gave them two reasons for sharing: obedience, it was God's ordinance, and gratitude, all God had done for them. See, it's good to set aside special times to meditate on the work of the Lord in your life. And we'll read about the things that are. In spite of all that God did for His people, they would not listen to His word or do His will. One of God's most painful judgments is to permit you to have your own way. Had they obeyed, they would have experienced victory instead of defeat, fullness instead of emptiness, and the best instead of the worst. They could have looked back with rejoicing, but instead, they had to remember with regret. See, the things that might have been will be if today you let the Master have His way. Psalm 81, verses 1 through 16. For the choir director, a psalm of Asaph, to be accompanied by a stringed instrument. Sing praises to God, our strength. Sing to the God of Israel. Sing, beat the tambourine. Play the sweet lyre and the harp. Sound the trumpet for a sacred feast, when the moon is new, when the moon is full. For this is required by the laws of Israel. It is a law of the God of Jacob. He made it a decree for Israel when He attacked Egypt to set us free. I heard an unknown voice that said, "Now I will relieve your shoulder of its burden. I will free your hands from their heavy tasks. You cried to me in trouble, and I saved you. I answered out of the thunder cloud. I tested your faith at Meribah, when you complained that there was no water. Listen to me, O my people, while I give you stern warnings. O Israel, if you would only listen. You must never have a foreign god. You must not bow down before a false god. For it was I, the Lord your God, who rescued you from the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it with good things. But no, my people wouldn't listen. Israel did not want me around. So I let them follow their blind and stubborn way, living according to their own desires. But oh, that my people would listen to me. Oh, that Israel would follow me, walking in my paths. How quickly I would then subdue their enemies. How soon my hands would be upon their foes. Those who hate the Lord would cringe before him. Their desolation would last forever. But I would feed you with the best of foods. I would satisfy you with wild honey from the rock. Proverbs 25, verses 6 through 8. Don't demand an audience with the king, or push for a place among the great. It is better to wait for an invitation than to be sent to the end of the line, publicly disgraced. Just because you see something, don't be in a hurry to go to court. You might go down before your neighbors in shameful defeat.